welcome to our episode of the Nintendo Rotant Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today, of course, is Wario Will.
Man, hearing that song again in that direct. I mean, I have not heard that song in such a long time. It's like, it brings me back to the good old DDR days. Oh boy.
Also, honestly, I forgot about a certain something that happened this weekend, Will. And I shiver at the thought of.
That too. Again, the direct kind of overshadows that.
Yeah, it does, but we'll just say it anyway. Shiver one!
Yes, and probably bring this into next week's topic, but you think that people have been very salty over the Splatfest, to say the least.
Yeah, and as I told the guys on Discord, I'm sure some of you think you're a big man, but when it comes to us Shiver fans, we're just going to make you fry. Boom! Boom! Also here, and also a proud member of the victorious team Shiver, is Skullkit Scott.
We are the champions, but that's not important today.
hold on, Scott. If you're going to do it, you got to do it. We are the champions.
I was actually considering actually playing that music before the announcement of the Rex. That was actually a constant on it, really.
Right. And also here is Falcon 5!
Hi. I'm just playing Disneyland Valley and trying to get the Halloween items.
Yep, that's right. She's playing a game while on our podcast again.
Well, Todd, I have, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I have to multitask in order to focus.
At least it's only one game and not like three.
You guys heard that, right? So she asked me what was wrong with her, and I'm like, oh, Faith, we don't have the time.
Like, have you noticed every time you and I do a FaceTime, I'm always doing some random task that probably doesn't even need to be done?
I don't mind. You do what you want.
Yeah, I did that to focus.
Sure, Jan. Anyway, so it's been a busy week. We had the Splatfest. There's been the Pokemon DLC just dropped. And then, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we had a Nintendo Direct today at the time of this recording. And as always, we're going to break it down step by step because once more, it's time for some Direct Poke. And do we have thoughts?
Yep.
Thoughts. Okay. I honestly can say I have not been on Twitter that much today because I've been so busy with stuff preparing for a con. So I have only seen a few reactions, and usually it was about one game in particular that we will talk about at the very, very, very end. But because that game blew up the internet. But did everything else, we shall break it down. So, starting off with Splatoon 3 Side Order DLC. Yes, we have finally gotten more insight into this after the very brief teaser we got in March that showed off the DLC. I remember part one was the Return to Inkopolis, where you could, you know, go back to Inkopolis. It's right in the title, people. Right there. But and the second one is Side Order DLC, which it features the Splatoon 2 crew of Pearl and Marina, kind of, sort of. You will be a new Octarian known as Agent 8.
Clarification. I'm sorry, dear host, but Agent 8, I believe it is from the Octo Expansion, it seems like.
It is?
Because if you met Agent 8 originally in Octo Expansion, and yes, apparently they will continue with his or her storyline here in the Side Order.
Then I apologize, because I forgot about it. I haven't. It's been a while since I played the Octo Expansion.
I mean, so the lore of Splatoon is massive, and like even if you played the main campaign in Splatoon 3, but yeah, there's a lot more. Like, it is definitely a lot more fleshed out in lore in Splatoon. Like, so yes, apparently, Pearl is now talking via a Weibo from Flubber. She's now a robot, quote unquote.
Excellent Flubber reference. I approve.
Yeah, and also the Ox is apparently in one of the members of the music groups in Splatoon universe that will also play a part in the Side Order. So apparently there's a lot if you read into the lore of Splatoon 3, like, it's basically a lot of fan service in this DLC. And apparently from one of the creators, they said that to try to Takahashi said that this DLC is meant to play it infinitely. So basically, this DLC is basically a roguelike for Splatoon 3. Like modifiers, all that. Something akin to like other roguelikes, like Hades and so forth. So,
well, actually, Will, I hate to correct you, dear co-host, but he did not say infinitely. He said over and over again, which is entirely different.
Semantics!
Geek semantics. But yes, Will is correct on most of what he said. The Spire of Order, which is a reference to the Splatoon 2 final Splatfest of Order versus Chaos, which, remember, Chaos won, and that influenced... Shut up! He was Team Order. I was Team Balance. There was no Team Balance, exactly, and that was the problem.
Curse you, Tyler, from the Beyond the Grave.
No, remember, he's still in the Shatterverse. Gonna make another joke about someone's death, but we will not do that here. But yes, the Spire of Order will be a tower that you have to ascend to try and find Mirana with Ox help and Pearl as the excellent reference to Flubber, the Weibo robot. Also, Will, you totally left yourself open by saying that the thing has a lot of fan service. I'm like, oh, well, you know all about fan service, don't you, Will?
So. I mean, I'm talking about that, like the particular clean kind of fan service, dear host.
Right. Anyway. But yeah, and also there are brand new enemies in this Spire of Order. Like, can we define what the heck those things are?
If I recall correctly, in reality, I think it is basically on those like bonefish in the deep depths of like the Mariana Trenches and such.
Yeah, I'm getting that vibe too, because there are, for the record, translucent fish where you can see their insides, such as the barrel eye fish, which has eyes that look up and has a transparent head that allows it to absorb light and have great eyesight. Why does this thing exist? I have no idea. But it
should be weird, yo.
No, it's and that's just the beginning of all the madness. But also just the look of the place, the inside of the spire, and the weapons even, they feel more digital than anything else. You know, I'm getting like serious like cyberspace, like Tron vibes.
Yeah.
So, another thing is that you actually see the damage that you're doing to foes. And I have a feeling that ties into the RPG elements of powering up your character, so you know how much stronger you're getting or how much more damage you need to do.
So. Yeah. So it's basically very akin to a little bit of taking some cues from the Arco expansion. And like, yeah, you actually see the number damage, like when you do like training modes and all that. So yeah, I'm just very curious how they have improved since the Arco expansion. And from what we see, like, yeah, like the new bosses, quote unquote, as well as like a new stage variation, the mode. Like, now is basically a very akin to 7-Run with, again, with your dualies or your modifiers and all that. So that's when I'm very curious about how this DLC has improved since then. So with that, I'm curious about.
Indeed. Now, the bad news, and this is one of many bad news situations for this direct, hint, wink, wink. It's not coming out until spring of next year.
Yeah.
Yep.
What? So let's recap, ladies and gentlemen. They announced the DLC in March. They did Wave 1, which was Return to Egopolis, and did that in March, April, whatever. And then they're waiting a whole year to deliver Part 2. Really? That is certainly a choice.
I'm guessing probably it's because, like, since we're having a pack that's... the fall season, I think they want to space it out. Maybe, I don't know, schedule wise. I don't know.
I still think it's stupid because, like, if you recall our previous episode after the first part DLC reveal, we didn't really like that DLC. I mean, that should not have been a full on, hey, you got to buy this because, like, it's just
jobless.
So it still it looks good, but the fact that, and we don't even have like a window, it's just spring 2024. Joy.
Yeah, that could mean anything in spring.
Exactly. And if honestly, if it is directly 1 year or later than 1 year after they announced it, I'm going to be really, really mad because I'm like, why would you announce the DLC 1 year ahead of time?
Mama.
We got to move on. Got a lot more salt to throw. Next up.
It's a lot of salt.
There's a lot of salt. We actually have one of the surprises of the show, which is Mario versus Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Now, for those who don't remember this game, this was one on the DS or the 3DS?
I think They had, I think, had one on both.
Okay. I know there were multiple entries in this series. Yeah. But, this was a handheld title originally, and it's a fun spin on the Donkey Kong Mario rivalry. Donkey Kong has stolen a whole bunch of Mario toys, and Mario has to go through special levels akin to the original arcade games to get keys, unlock doors, and chase after Donkey Kong to get the toys back. It was actually very, very popular on the handhelds, not gonna lie. But yeah, this is like,
It's interesting. It's
almost as though we're gonna see a lot of Mario games in this direct.
They are definitely trying to bank off of that whole Mario movie, and they are just continuing to bank off that.
Yep.
So, but the game looks good. This again was ported, or I guess let's call it remastered. Or would this be a remake? Would you call this a remake?
It's weird because it's one of those things where apparently it was the engine, but the layers of the graphics were rebuilt so that it looks like this.
Yeah. Because obviously it didn't look anything like this on the
none at all.
I'll just call it a remake. I'll be generous, but yeah, the game, it looks good, and it's one of the many 2024 titles we're gonna get. It's coming out on February 16th, which would make it presently the first party title of 2024. So keep that in mind, and you can also pre-order today. Joy. All right, next up, one of the many third-party titles, Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. Do you want to talk about it? No? Great, let's move on.
No.
It might be good, but it doesn't matter.
It's multi-platform. Next up,
it's not a part of Nintendo.
Not really. Next up is Horizon Chase 2. You want to talk about that? Nope. Okay, moving on. Super Crazy Rhythm Castle?
That's the game that, like, when they played that song I played earlier, it was and basically, if you love, like, if you play, like, what was that rhythm? Yeah, Rhythm Heaven, like, back on Wii, like, this may be your next offering of rhythm games. And if you, like, of course, when Konami was good, when they played with DDR and all that, if you know Konami's rhythm songs and all that from DDR or What Are Games, then this game may be something for you if you're the rhythm game player. And yeah, that song, I don't know. When I heard that song in the first, I screamed. It's just nostalgic for me. I'm sorry.
You're allowed to have nostalgia.
Oh, there's going to be plenty of nostalgia in this show.
Yes.
We're the Nintendo Podcast. We're run on nostalgia.
This is true. He's not wrong, ladies and gentlemen. Right, Faith?
Yes.
Just wanted to show that you were still alive. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm still alive. I'm just listening. Y'all are all hyped, and I'm just over here like, man, I can't match this hypeness right now.
Don't worry, we're almost.
It'll die down.
And don't worry, we're almost to the game that I know you want to talk about. We're almost there.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, next up. Okay, I'm going to call this one of the surprises because I definitely wasn't expecting to see Spy X Family on Nintendo Directs.
It is definitely weird how Nintendo has been kind of like pushing a bit more of the anime license games. I mean, I know they did it with Shin-Chan, Dorymon, and now here in Spy Family. And yeah, Anya and Anya family and her basically doing a very casual thing like, oh, it went, go to school or go. Make me a photo book journey. Like, okay, they're doing for the whole comfy anime license games. Fine.
So the game is called Spy X Anya Operation Memories. For those of you who do not get this reference, Spy X Family is one of the biggest anime of the last couple of years. Basically, a super spy named Lloyd Ford, who goes by the name Lloyd Forger, but he's also known as Agent Twilight, is tasked with stopping a civil war from happening. And to do this, he has to get a family and enroll a kid into a school. Problem, he's single. So what does he do? He marries basically the first woman he sees that gets his attention, and he adopts a 6-year-old girl named Anya. Problem, the woman he marries, Yor, is an assassin, and dear little Anya is a telepath.
Yeah, it is just absolutely crazy, but also very wholesome. And like, this is probably another topic for podcast. But like, I always thought many people basically call it a Spy Family and not pronounce the X in between. So I don't know. That's another debate.
I've always thought it was like because the X is there.
It's there, but people basically call it Spy Family, or you call Hunter Hunter, and do not call it Hunter X Hunter. So that's another debate.
That's true.
You can pronounce it however you like, I say.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott.
I'm just pointing that out. I'm sorry.
No, for me, I don't want to call a Spy Family because technically only two of the four members, yes, I'm including Bond, the future seeing dog. Yeah, that's right. Future seeing dog. That's canon. Is technically, they're not spies. Technically, only one of them is a spy. So it's not Spy Family. Never mind. We're getting into this.
Nah.
I can hear Faith taking the notes like, okay, so Lloyd's the spy, yours the assassin, Anya's the sidekick, and Bond's a dog, right? Yeah, Bond's a dog. You can see the future. How does the dog see the future? Well, it's a good thing you asked that, Faith, because what happened was, I'm not telling you.
Read the Bond.
I'm over here just like trying to keep up with you guys. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on, but just smile and nod,
Just like Anya. Oh my gosh, if we're the Spy X family, what members is she's Anya? Who's I'm Lloyd, obviously. Will can secretly kill us all, I'm sure. So he's
I'll take Bond.
And he's Bond. Perfect. The family is complete. And then Tyler is the rich kid's son.
Damien. I think Damien.
Yes, Tyler is totally Damien because he's our contrarian. So yeah. But yeah, this game is, I really don't know what to make of this game, but hey, if you're...
It's the comfy game. It's a comfy anime game.
It's a comfy game, and it's a licensed game. So if you like either of those two things, you might like this.
Yeah. Also, Spy X Family Season 2 coming this October with the movie coming, I think, December.
So, December, yeah.
I honestly can't wait. It's the dumbest thing ever, but it's also like one of the greatest things ever.
It's a really fun one to watch because it's like there are stakes, but it's like you know that it's not like very important stakes. It's just fun stakes.
Yeah.
Yep.
The characters make it worth it, even though it really shouldn't work at all. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to actual Nintendo game. Super Mario RPG, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
Don't worry, it's still coming out November 17th, and we got a brand new trailer. And overall, it's basically the same. However, we did get some new additions, including action commands, which seems to be a call out to a certain other franchise that we surely won't be talking about later.
Never.
And if you do these action commands correctly, not only can you increase your damage or reduce the damage you take, but you can damage all enemies at once to varying levels. So something for you to take part in. Also, there is the triple move. Yes! With your powers combined, you're able to summon Captain... Never mind. But yeah, it depends...
You can summon Dr. Mario.
Oh my gosh, wouldn't that have been hilarious? Like, how did he show up? Who cares? But yes, depending on your team's makeup, you will have a triple move that will charge up over time. And so you can do anything from having a super shot to rain down... fireballs from Bowser's copter to Peach doing a certain thing. It all depends on who your team is. So you'll definitely want to mix and match to see what ones work for you the most. And then at the end of the game, this is another new piece of content. There's going to be post-game boss rematches.
Yes.
Well, why would you want to do that, right? Well, we'll tell you, because these are going to be like Dark Souls level of brutality. Like, there is literally a clip in the trailer showing you taking 9,999 damage.
Yes.
As I'm going full limit break on Final Fantasy. And like, oh, and of course, naturally, they also teased that quote-unquote extra boss at the end, which if you know, you know.
I don't know. I can also say that. I never beat the original, even though I got it on Virtual Console. So that's why I'm very much going to enjoy this when it comes out on November 17th. All right, Faith?
Yeah.
We're not at your game yet, but we're getting close. All right. we're almost there. But I wanted to talk to Will about this one because, and I do not mean this is an insult, Will, but I feel that you would know this game. Do you know another code?
I'm aware it is originally a DS game. That was way back when. Yeah. And like the first DS game was kind of a niche thing in, I believe, in Capcom's library, if I correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, it was more or less like a very puzzle game. I know it was like very, like, during the birth of the DS, it was like very, like, puzzle-based with, like, the other puzzle games that was out during that time of the DS library.
Gotcha.
So, like, yeah, this one, I've heard of it. I haven't played it because I didn't bought a DS during the time. I know my other family members did, but I know about this game.
I legit have never heard of this game. I'm like, oh, this is something new. And then they go, no, this is another port remake thing. I'm like, oh. And then I kid you not, I go onto Facebook and a friend of mine, Maria, also diehard Nintendo person, she goes, "Oh my gosh, how could no one tell me that another code was coming back today?" Like, oh my gosh, I'm like, really? Wow, people actually have heard of this game. Like, I mean, I had a DS, and I think that was around the time I was doing the internet thing, and that sounded so weird. When I'm doing the internet thing. Yeah, I am.
The birth of the internet. We were back in the day.
Back in my day, we had dial-up. Actually, we did have dial-up back in my day, but that's beside the point. And Faith's like, "What's dial-up? I, that sounds annoying." Yes, Faith.
I know what dial-up is.
Sure.
My parents educated me.
Sure you do. I guarantee you didn't have to suffer through as much as we did. Anyway. but yes, the Another Code Re-Collection will come out on January 19th of next year. So, if you want to get it, good for you.
Yeah, and apparently the second game is like, which has never been released in the U.S. is also included in this package.
Indeed.
So yes, you can get both games.
So I appreciate that. Though it also reminds me of a certain other franchise that also has had Japan only titles that hasn't come to the list. what franchise could that have been that I totally could have filled up 2024 with those titles? Gee, it's just slipping my mind.
Could have also coincided with the recent Faye banner.
Who would have thunk?
Oh, trust me, there are thoughts coming, ladies and gentlemen. But first, there is someone who I absolutely want to hear thoughts on for this next game, and that is Faith, because it's time to talk about Princess Peach Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
Wait for Faith's reaction. See, it's too many F words in here, ladies and gentlemen. Faith.
Yes.
Speak louder.
You kept talking, and I was waiting for you to be done.
I paused.
Well, I know, but then I paused, wondering if you were gonna say anything else before I spoke. You know, it's that wonderful communication we got going on.
This is our lifelike dynamic, by the way.
I'm mainly excited because I think I mentioned this before on one of the past podcasts. I actually got one of the old Princess Peach games that was on the DS. And I loved that game as a kid. Like, that was my game. I, like, played that game all the time because I loved Princess Peach. I mean, it's like when you're a girl and you're growing up, like, with, you know, Mario and Luigi and all of these male characters, and you have Princess Peach, you gotta love her. You just do. And, like, I loved that game. And it's like I've always wanted to have, like, another game like that. And I like that they're doing kind of... It's not the same, but in a way it kind of has like the same dynamic, but I like that they're adding like the other features that they showed us today, like her like fighting and doing like whatever that whole cooking thing was, like the bakery thing that
yeah.
we seen on the cover.
Yeah,
all of that stuff. I just like that we're getting different features. Like it kind of, I don't know what to describe it as. I want to describe it like with Mario Party, where you have like all these little side mini games, but it's like it's also not quite like that either.
True. You can also describe it as Kirby with the different hats and costumes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that's kind of what I want to say. I actually was looking on Amazon today to see if they had it listed for pre-order because I was just curious. And I saw that literally the old DS game is going like for $130. And I'm like, really?
I believe it.
Yeah, I still have mine, and I'm keeping it because I love that game.
Well, that game, despite it not being like built upon until now, I guess, was absolutely a success. And here, actually, let me just look up the title. I doubt it was just called Princess Peach.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what it's called. I have mine like packed away in the closet, so...
Oh, it was Super... like, really? Super Princess Peach.
Oh, wow, that's so original.
Yeah, I know. but yeah, Super Princess Peach is a platform video game developed by Tosei and published by Nintendo for the Nintendo DS and was released in 2005. That makes you feel old. So yeah, it took 20 years, basically, for Princess Peach to get her next solo title. Nice job, Nintendo.
Just took the Mario movie.
Among other things, I'm sure. But yeah, probably the Mario movie. And by the way, Anya Taylor-Joy.
No, it was the song. Great. The song is what did it.
Oh, yeah. So we don't need to thank Anya Taylor-Joy. We need to thank Jack Black.
I mean, don't we have to thank Jack Black for like everything in life nowadays?
Well, I mean, he could tell us the legend of the Kung Fu Panda. No. Yeah, that's our Nickelodeon reference. You're all welcome. But yes, so here's the situation. Princess Peach Showtime, as it is called, we'll take the our titular princess and take her to the Sparkle Theater, where she goes to have a good time. But of course, nothing ever goes right in the Mario Kingdom, or wherever this is. They actually don't say specifically what kingdom this is. They just say the Sparkle Theater. Anyway, and it is there that she meets the villainous grape. This is real.
A grape. Yeah. A little circular grape.
Yeah, and her minions, the sour bunch. Get it? Because sour grapes. That's almost clever. It's really not.
It is a lot of puns. Surely a great thing for you, dear host.
Look, I'm all for puns, but even for me, like, that was just terrible.
They need to be classy.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you wanted to go, like, for a purple name, like, Violet. Lovely. And then you could, you know, call her, I don't know. I mean, you could call her groups the Sour Grapes, and it would have been, you know, at least a little ha-ha. But no, this is Grape and the Sour Bunch. Really. Have some class, Nintendo. And again, I am right here to be hired. But, yeah, so Grape, still a terrible name. Okay, worst name, Grape for the villain or Triangle Strategy?
Triangle Strategy.
Okay, fair enough.
Triangle Strategy.
Fair enough. Fair enough. At least grape sounds delicious. All right.
At least it goes by quickly.
This is true. So after Grape takes over the theater, Peach will have to team up with the theater's guardian, because of course it has a guardian entity, known as Stella. And Stella will give Princess Peach a ribbon, which she can use to thwart some of the things that Grape has done, and also give her special powers, which Faith has alluded to. So she will be able to become a martial artist. She'll be able to become a version of Puss in Boots. This is not a lie. She literally becomes a musketeer or a sword fighter, as she is called. She's also what's that one word, the cook word, Will? You said it earlier. The cooking word, the
patissier?
Yeah, sure, patissier, whatever. Don't leave me hanging like that.
I'm sorry, because like I just realized, Scott, if you want to go get the Final Fantasy VII Collector's Edition, it's back up right now.
No.
Dude, focus! We're talking. Oh, I was going to make an inches joke. I'm not going to do that here. but yes, you can do a partitioner, and you can also become a crime solver with Detective Peach. Wait, Detective Peach and Detective Pikachu? That's wow, that's too close. It's too soon! But yeah, and each version of Peach that you will encapsulate, I suppose, will have different gameplay themes, different stage types, different ways of going around the theater. Like, for example, with the crime solver, you actually have to solve mysteries in that costume. Also, you can save the theater. And Princess Peach Showtime will be available on March 22nd, 2024. So, I'll admit, and Nintendo also teased that there are many, many more costumes to be worn by Peach and Stella. So, something to look forward to, I'm sure. Again, this one is interesting just because it definitely has a different feel than like any other Mario game. Like, Will nailed it on the head when he said, like, this feels almost like a Kirby game with all the powers she gets. But even then, you know, Kirby's just copying abilities and then he can lose them with a hit, whereas Peach is like wearing this outfit throughout the stage that she is on. So it'll be interesting to see just how far they take this. Clearly, I'm on my own on that one.
I'm really interested in it, actually. I really do appreciate the way that like they integrated so many different play styles into Peach's game, with using the ribbon, using the different fighting mechanics and mini games you have access to.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And then Faith was like, excited, but now she's not talking anymore.
I mean, just following my quick two deeds, like, yeah, just like seeing the different styles, and of course naturally the people they are fast on the artwork. Again, seeing Fencer, Sword Peach, Tisha Peach, even a Kung Fu Peach, just like, yeah, just absolutely just crazy. And of course, yeah, I'm just can't wait to see what other outfits they have in this game.
Yeah,
I just want to see Princess Peach do like some Mortal Kombat moves.
Kind of doubt it. The closest you probably get is in Smash Bros, but that's just about it.
But still,
she shoves. That's hard to say. She shoves a toad down someone's throat. It's like, oh, you will be part of my kingdom. Here, I'll make the kingdom become part of you. Swank, swank, swank. Anyway, all right. Next up, we have our lone Square Enix entry, ladies and gentlemen. It is Saga Emerald Beyond. Okay.
I mean, it's Saga Games. I know about the series, and it's like, yeah, the Saga Games. Yeah, like I know it's a very interesting RPG. It's like very akin to what modern day is with Octopath Traveler, with the different stories and all that, or Live Alive in a sense. So think of that in that similarity.
Yeah, one thing that's, I'd say, different for the Saga Games too. Some people like it, some people don't. Is it's not exactly the most straightforward or linear. There's a lot of different things you can do. And the problem is a lot of the things you don't necessarily know you can do unless you talk to basically every NPC you can find.
Oh, reminds me of Starfield.
Yeah, something like that. But it's interesting. I do actually like how they do that, but they also, like, certain events change based on which story route you start with. Generally, the Saga games will bring all the characters together in some fashion. And depending on who you choose is basically how that fashion becomes. Everything gets changed a little bit based on who you choose. And you also, like, change how you open. So them having all these different characters is just part of the course for the Saga games. I do appreciate that some of them have, like, more, like, generic backstories. And then they just bring in this one random songstress who's just like, and now you play as a songstress who lost her body and lost her voice and lost everything else. But we don't talk about that. And we'll continue with the next person. And it's just like, I kind of want to know what happened.
It's like, tell me more! Okay.
All these normal stories, and then this person lost everything, including their body and their voice. And now we go on.
It's like, wow. Anyway. So, yeah, that's... yeah, I don't know what to make of it, but it, you know, hey, if you like it, good for you. And it's coming out, wait for it, next year. Alright, next up, this one is... yeah, it's Tomb Raider, but not the modern Tomb Raiders, which honestly I would like to see on Switch, to be honest with you. No, they have remade the original three Lara Croft adventures and quote-unquote upgraded the graphics, yeah, and brought them to the Switch. Okay, who asked for this?
I don't know.
First of all, just the fact they said, like, oh, they've updated the graphics. Yeah, but that doesn't mean they actually look good. I mean, I'm literally looking at a T-Rex right now, and it is horrifying to look at.
It's PS1 Tomb Raider with the extra, like, re-texture, all that. Again, rounded pixels, rounded polish and all that. And, yeah, just, I don't know. I know, like, the original Tomb Raider games have that classic feel, but, again, the old school level designs compared to, like, now, so it may kind of feel dated. I don't know. I haven't played the original, so I can't say.
I dare you to go to 1602 on the direct and tell me that that looks like rounded, polished pixels.
Okay, so it's rough pixels then.
Okay, I apologize. That was actually the before look, but still, it doesn't, like, this does not scream, you know, super polished and everything. I mean, I don't know. So, again, who asked for this? I mean, I honestly wouldn't have minded if it was, like, one, like, the Rise of the Tomb Raider game, or, I think it was the second one.
The reboot one? Like, Shadow?
Yeah, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah, those three. Like, if they had brought those ones somehow to the Switch, I wouldn't have minded that. Even if it was, like, kind of like a Witcher situation where they had to dumb it down a little bit, you know? That would have been fun, but, like, these are, like, so retro it just hurts sometimes. Mm-hmm. But hey, you know, if they think it'll sell, I guess. And remember, the Crystal Dynamics Square Enix sold off Tomb Raider, and, like, we have no idea what's happening with it now, so yay.
At least we're getting something, I guess. But I guess that's not probably what people want.
Doesn't that mean we should be excited about a certain other title just because we got something, we guess?
No.
I didn't think so. All right. Next up, we have Detective Pikachu Returns. Okay, I'll be honest, we're just going to blow by this one because there's not much new information here.
Nah.
It's the same thing. The only thing we really learned is that there is one more Pokemon we can tag team with to get new abilities, which is Luxray. You'll be able to use its electric sense to see through walls. That's not how electricity works, but I digress. Then again, I'm expecting Pokemon to actually understand the laws of physics and everything, so there you go. Also, how does it take years to find Tim Goodman? All right, I'm just saying. Like, how does it take this long? All right. This next one. Okay. I should be happy, but I'm not, because it just sounds so horrible. It's a trombone champ. Now, the reason I should be happy about this game is because during the days of the reboot G4, rest in peace, Xavier Woods, the wrestler and Epic Gamer, has played a trombone for his character in WWE, and he actually played this game, or like, I was introduced to this game on G4, and it was hilarious, his reaction to it. But then as they were just playing this during the trailer, I am like, my ears are bleeding, especially at the end where they have like the team section and they're doing like terribly on this, on the song, and I'm like, it's like, I'm like, what are you doing to us? This is horrible. Like, who asked for this? We have an interesting control scheme that so you can learn to play the trombone with the Joy-Cons. I don't care. Stop playing this.
I mean, speaking as a guy who actually has played trombone, it's basically the joke game. It was such a meme, and a lot of people like to play it on Twitch and all that. It was originally up on PC, and it's just like, it's just meme material. So it's basically the joke game. But if you can laugh, like how it's very Wii music-y and all that, like, then fine, you can definitely find some fun here. So it's basically the joke game, which you either love or hate.
For the record, William, I am a proud member of the brass section. All right, I played baritone. You're welcome, and I had trombone friends. Okay, I do not. I like the only. Oh, as someone who actually played a trombone, I don't care if you actually played a trombone. Okay, I do not need to hear this on my ears. They're already sensitive enough. I was gonna make a joke about faith here, but I will not. Wow.
I'm gonna go ahead and be offended. Wow.
Go ahead. Exactly. You do that, Faith. All right. Next up, Battle Crush. Yeah, whatever. Closed beta test in October. Who cares? War Tales. Yeah, I think I've heard of this game.
Nah, it's not worth it.
Not worth it. Contra.
K?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
I mean, hopefully Konami, well, quote unquote, hopefully. Konami learned their lesson. We're going to our last Contra outing and not put a reload button in the in a Contra game. Like, who the heck does that? But I digress. So, yeah,
reload button?
There's a reload in Contra in a game that's supposed to shoot infinitely. Who thought that?
Oh, right.
But yeah, again, like, here's hoping they learned a lesson and that this original remake of the original Contra game is allowing for co-op, the original the gameplay of the original Contra, which, yeah. Again, we just have to wait and see because, again, this is Konami.
Yeah. All right, this next one I'm going to let Will and Scott talk about because they seemed very interested in it. Unicorn Overlord. Actually, I'm going to delay that. Unicorn Overlord? Really?
That was one thing, I'll give you that. The title itself, like, really, Vanillaware? Like, really, Atlas? You gotta give it that title?
I really hope that there's an explanation for it.
Yeah, here's hope. I mean, yes, 13 Sentinels, Dragon's Crown, by all means, and Odin Sphere, sure. Those are actually great names, but Unicorn Overlord.
And I was thinking, like, wait a minute, wasn't there, like, a animated series called Unicorn Warriors Eternal? Yes, there was, and apparently it's really good. The difference here is that was made by Gennady Tartakovsky, and that man can do no wrong. He can name his shows wherever the heck he wants. Okay, so this is like an RPG with an interesting, you know, art style, and they decided to call it Unicorn Overlord. If I am not riding a unicorn at some point in that game and trying to command the world through that unicorn, then you have done something wrong.
Well, I wouldn't put, like, I would hold those expectations actually high because with VanillaWare games, like with previous games like Dragon's Crown and other games, like, I think you could maybe actually ride a unicorn in this game because, one, it is very, tactical strategy RPG, very, like, akin to, like, Tactics Ogre from Square Enix, and this game, it's beautiful. It's a VanillaWare game. Anything VanillaWare touches is beautiful.
Well, it does have a unique art style. I'm not going to give it that, but I don't know if it's just how my eyes interpret it, but it just feels, I don't know.
It's definitely on more of a, like, a oil paint kind of feel, like, in a sense. It's definitely meshes, like, maybe not to, like, to certain people's preferences. Yeah. Granted, it definitely has that unique appearance. But again, that's kind of like a VanillaWare staple of their appearance. And again, VanillaWare makes delicious food. If you can't tell in the trailer, their food, their depiction of food is just absolutely beautiful. And the game gameplay wise is again very akin to like Tactics Ogre. I mean, to the point like maybe a little bit of Fire Emblem, a little bit here and there.
It's a pretty unique take on the tactics formula from what I can see. Yeah. But that's pretty much VanillaWare's MO. They usually have really unique games, and they usually have a very authentic and unique art style that you can definitely tell is a VanillaWare game, and this has that art style. If you like VanillaWare art style, you will like this game most likely. If you played any of the previous games like Odin Sphere, Grim Grimoire, Dragon's Crown, 13 Sentinels, and you weren't a big fan of how that like looked or felt, you probably still won't like this game, because VanillaWare has a very unique take on how they do games, and they don't generally like stray off from that kind of technique.
And if you like the fan service in those previous games, yep, this is your new.
You probably could talk to George Kamitami in regards to that, but
I am literally looking at a wolf-like creature in a string bikini, and I'm like, what the heck? Her name's Dinah.
There is a fun fact that our dear co-workers Matt actually told me about, but I don't think I could actually say that in here in this Nintendo Ava podcast.
Wow, that's okay. That's scary that we actually can't say something. Okay, then. Now, the sad news, and this is the reason why, another bad note, if you will, this is not a Nintendo exclusive. It is coming out to the other systems. It has already been confirmed. It's by Atlas and Sega alongside VanillaWare, and it will arrive on March 8th. So,
jeez, what other games arrive in March? I don't know.
A lot. So, all right, next up.
At least it's not February.
Not yet. Right. Next up, we have, wait for it, Luigi's Mansion 2 HD. That's right. They renamed the game because it didn't want to call it Luigi's Mansion Dark Mode. That should tell you all you need to know. All right. But yes, this is the original second game that was on the 3DS years ago. Dang, that makes me feel old again. But Luigi is brought to the Evershade. Okay, this is not true. Luigi is not brought to the Evershade Valley, ladies and gentlemen. Luigi is taken to the Evershade Valley. I'm not joking here. Professor E. Gadd was doing work in... I had to look this up. Professor E. Gadd was doing work in the Evershade Valley when King Boo shatters the Dark Moon and scatters all over the valley. Okay? Good. Then, somehow, E. Gadd appears into the TV where Luigi is sleeping, because of course he is, and he says, "Hey, Luigi, I need your help," and literally pulls him through the TV and brings him to the valley. That's kidnapping. Hey, that is straight up kidnapping. They kidnapped Luigi just so he would do a second game. I'm
excited for it.
Did you not play the 3DS version?
No, I didn't have a 3DS, and I've said multiple times to you, Todd.
I'm sorry. I also forgot.
Constantly forget how new she is to gaming.
Well, she was 1 year old when a certain franchise ended its run. Anyway. But yes, this game remasters the 3DS graphics, and it honestly does look good. And
yeah.
Luigi will have to go throughout many locations within the Evershade Valley to collect the pieces of the Dark Moon. And, oh, by the way, Mario's been turned into a painting again.
Yeah, part of the course.
Yeah. I think this is why some people didn't like Dark Moon as much, because it's a little bit paint by numbers. Oh,
repetition.
Yeah. I mean, you just need like the broad brush strokes. Oh yeah. I mean,
please don't put any dinner on it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, if the Nintendo could have made this game suck, but oh wait. Yeah. Anyway, if you think I would be done with these puns, you don't have a ghost of a chance. Anyway, so yes, the game will have its entirety. Luigi will be going through multiple locations, but just as important, there will be multiplayer components.
Yes.
You'll be able to team up to 3 other players to do multiple kinds of ghost challenges. They didn't really dive into it. We do see briefly a screen. There's going to be like different, like there's going to be a rush mode. There's going to be a hunter mode. You can choose the number of floors and the difficulty you want. So you are going to have options. And there's a polterpup mode. That went by so fast. There's a polterpup mode. There we go. Track down polterpups with your dark light device and capture every last one of those pesky mutts. Hey, those are awesome pesky mutts. All right.
But they are still pesky.
But remember, you have one as like your BFF in the third game. So, you know, how pesky can they actually be? But yes. Now, here's the other thing. When's it coming out? Summer of next year.
That's
what?
Quite a bit of a ways away.
And remember, they announced this in June. Huh. Okay. Next up is not a game. It's more of an identity, an idea. Never mind. I was going to keep going, but there's a Nintendo Museum, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Yes. It's in Japan, and you'll be able to see various little exhibits. And wait for it. It's going to be done by March 2024.
Jeez, that seems to be quite the theme this Nintendo Entertainment.
Yeah. Hey, why don't you go bring your Switch so you can play all the games you're going to have to buy while exploring the museum? I see nothing wrong with this at all.
I mean, it's fine. It's a museum. I'm no doubt about they're gonna bring in the Vietnam Game Boy that survived the blast. So yeah.
For the record, I am totally fine with this. I am all for Nintendo expanding its reach and doing what it can when it can. All right. Next up, something I know will make Will and Scott very happy. Let's talk about Amiibos.
Amiibos.
Yay! Amiibos. So, first and foremost, we have The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, the Zelda holding the remade Master Sword, and Daddy Ganondorf, which I'm sure all the ladies are going to buy. Right, Faith?
No.
No.
The cultured one. No.
I don't. It's not about culture, because she likes Chris Pratt. you know, you want to know the real reason I know she's not going to get Daddy Ganondorf? Because she hasn't gotten far enough in Tears of the Kingdom to actually see him yet. Oh!
But I have seen him, and I have a hot take. He's kind of ugly.
Wow!
Wait until he has meat on his bones, then you'll see.
You saw him as a skeleton, most likely.
So hold on, did you see him in his full form?
Yeah, he's still kind of ugly.
Wow. The internet. Do not post that on the internet. Okay.
I have very picky taste, okay?
Ooh, there's so many jokes I want to make here, but I will not.
It's not Jensen Padalecki.
No.
Okay,
it's Jared Padalecki, Scott.
I know. I am bad with names. I know.
I will say
Jensen
that.
Ackles, Jared Padalecki. I get them mixed up.
You should help. Also, if I guarantee you that if Jared was voicing Ganondorf, she'd think he's hot.
Yeah, because then I'm going to imagine Jared and not whatever that is.
Oh, poor Matt Mercer.
Anyway, the Amiibo will come out on November 3rd. So if you all need a birthday gift for me, there you go. Actually, I don't even remember the last Amiibo I got was. So, but hey, there you go. Also, for you Xenoblade Chronicles 3 fans, the Noah and Mio Amiibo, that's
yay.
Nice, will come out on, wait for it, January 19th. That's right. We got to get something in January.
Finally something in January. Yes.
And then, the announcement
yes.
that made Scott so happy, that dragged this direct from an F to a C in his mind.
Yes.
We're getting a Sora Amiibo!
Yeah, but bloody time.
And he looks amazing!
I may not know what my last Amiibo was, but I know what my next one's gonna be!
I'm gonna buy two, like, just because, again, the fact that we have Nintendo and Disney. I mean, yes, we have the Disney figures, but that's a different
case. Amiibo of an era.
Yeah. There's like, seriously, he looks great. I mean, you can see like the pattern on the, this is the KH1 outfit for the record with the nice big yellow shoes and
yes.
OG haircut and smile. I think
when he was still innocent.
I think that's the pose he did when he like did the
Let's review trailer. In the review trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. But yes, he will be arriving. We do not have a release date. I'm sorry, but it will be
sometime 2024.
Yes. So there you go. Sometime in those 365 days. All right. So every
I have
day,
a question.
Yes.
Smash Brothers is not getting another game, is it?
We don't know.
Soon, probably.
I thought it was confirmed that it was over, though. Or was I lied to?
Super Smash Brothers Ultimate is over.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean
content.
Super Smash Brothers is.
Yeah. The content for Smash Brothers is over because Sora was the last DLC character. Even though a few weeks ago, there was a new rumor saying that they was going to get another DLC pack. I'm like, no, it's not. I guarantee you. Sakurai does many things. He does not lie. And he said it was over with Sora. Not to mention, that whole trailer was about Sora being the end. Anyway,
yes.
But no, the content is over. So like you only get like, you know, your basic balance patch updates, but DLC wise and full content wise, it's over. Okay. And but Sakurai himself has not confirmed, nor has Nintendo confirmed, that another Smash Brothers is in the works. He's even made it very clear on his videos when he's talking about Smash Brothers that nothing has been confirmed as of yet, even though he has said he does not imagine one being made without him for various reasons that we've talked about in the past. So,
yep.
Yeah. Now, what's important to note about Sora, who is finally here, almost, with Sora's arrival, everyone is literally here.
Okay. Every single amiibo in the Smash Bros. Series, aside from the variants with like female, like Corvette, well, no, female, the other variants, but basically, yeah, all the characters are here in Smash.
Oh, they've got like Peach and Lucina.
Female Byleth. I know we had male Byleth, but not female Byleth. Again, technicalities.
Technicalities. Also, Will, there was a female Corrin, but
I just remember that.
It's all right. I'm literally looking at the screen right now. It's so beautiful, and I have like six of them. I still don't have Ike. If you really want to give me a birthday present,
I mean, I do have a spare Ike in that, so maybe I could. I don't know. I'm just glad that
I promise to be nice to you for at least one podcast.
Or if I back you on your Kickstarter segue, but I don't know. I'm just glad that this Smash series of amiibo is finally done, quote unquote. And yeah, that's one rabbit hole down, and hopefully not anymore anytime soon, like with Zelda and everything else. Here's hoping.
Don't jinx it, because trust us, with Nintendo, they're going to keep milking it. They know people buy this stuff still, despite it not being as, I don't want to say relevant, but...
Collectors. It's a collector's item.
It is collectors. There's probably not nearly as many people using these for actually Smash.
Exactly. Or the other games that they are attached to.
Yeah. I will probably be doing this for Smash just so I can name Sora as not Roxas in the game. Because that's what I did for Cloud. I just named him not Zack.
But technically, aren't they actually Zack and Roxas because of the whole soul thing? No, I'm not getting into this.
We're not getting into that.
We're not getting into this. Like, I have to deal enough with Tetsuya and Nomura. But yes, like I'm literally looking at this picture of all the amiibo, and it is so beautiful. I mean, all these characters and the amiibo. And again, even though, like, yes, it's over, the fact that Nintendo was able to do this, working with all these companies to get these third-party characters and then to have amiibo made of them, like Bayonetta, the Richters, Terry Bogard, Minecraft.
Yes.
I still hate them, but still.
Joker of Persona.
Sephiroth, Kazuya.
Pac-Man, yeah.
And Pac-Man, and then Sora, of course. So... it's a beautiful thing. And to anyone out there who will be someone with a full set once you get Sora, I commend you.
Thank you, dear Todd. Thank you.
I couldn't remember if you did have them all. I thought you said you did, but I wasn't gonna say you did. Then you did.
I do have the entire Smash series.
Not yet.
Unless he has an early amiibo now from New York.
Yeah. It is delivered by a Keyblade portal. All right. Sadly, Faith does have to leave. But before you go, Faith, please give us your grade on this Nintendo Direct.
How do you want me to grade it?
Okay. On a scale from A being the best to F being a super fail. Fail! Be honest. I mean, we're gonna be brutally honest ourselves later, so don't be afraid to be honest now.
I feel like a C, because there is two games that I'm really excited for, and then I am excited for like the Mario RPG as well. So there's like three games that I'm excited for ish. Okay, so I mean,
you were excited for Peach. What was the second one?
Luigi's Mansion 2.
Oh right.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah. So like, I'm excited for all the Mario games. The only thing that I feel like kind of sucked is all of the games are either coming out next year or there's stuff we already knew about. So it's like, I feel like we didn't get much new to look forward to. And that's what kind of sucked. I'm like, well, please give us something.
Yeah.
But it's like, I guess everybody else and other that have different interests got something new today. But it's like the rest of us kind of didn't, I don't guess.
Yeah, that's very fair. And we'll be bringing that up later on. So
okay.
With that, thank you, Faith. Glad you could join us once again.
Of course.
Have a good night, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, you're gonna do great.
We know.
User disconnected from your channel.
oh, Todd, I liked you, the games and the show. Like, it was so great. Shut up, Faith. And we all know she only likes Luigi's Mansion because she didn't play the 3DS version, okay? It's like, she'll learn soon enough. She will learn.
Trial by fire.
Oh, that's the story of Luigi's life, if you really think about it. And then, oh, how perfect, ladies and gentlemen, that Faith leaves right before we talk about the most controversial entry in this Nintendo Direct. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about the return of F-Zero. 99!
Kinda.
Like, kinda, yeah, exactly. Kinda. Alright. I'm gonna walk you through my emotions through this. Alright, so we just got done with the Sora amiibo, which I admit was a highlight. Absolutely. Because we weren't sure. We weren't sure it was going to happen. Then all of a sudden, the Nintendo dude does the snap and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, we see Mute City 1. I'm like, oh my gosh. This is for real. Because remember, there was that F-Zero rumor from like a week or two ago. And I'm like, oh, this is great. And then they pull up. And I'm like, okay, this is great. And I'm like, oh, are they going to, they're going to do like the whole graphics thing, right? Where they're going to like drop it down. It's like fully remastered and remade. And no, we didn't get that at all. We got F-Zero 99.
The monkey's paw, the monkey's paw.
Okay, look. We've talked a lot about F-Zero in the past, about how many of the past guys, including the creator of Yakuza, would be up for bringing this back. And fans have been begging for F-Zero to come back, just like they've done, for Metroid and certain other franchises. And then when we see this, we're all thinking it, oh my gosh, they're either remaking the original game, which I would have totally been fine with as a starting point, or they're announcing something new. And no, they're only announcing something kind of new with the 99 franchise. Now, before we labor our full-blown hate onto this, allow me to at least explain what the heck this is. So, as the title suggests, there were going to be 99 racers in this game. And your goal is to be the last surviving racer. Well, how does that work? Every time you crash into the guardrails or another character, your health bar goes down. And once you hit the end of your bar, you explode. Which is awesome, because this game's gonna bomb. And I don't know.
It's gonna die within a year.
I won't be surprised. But so your job is to not just race down the track, but to make sure that you go down the track while getting hit as few times as possible. Now, there are ways to dodge people in general, and that includes filling up a second gauge by getting the sparks that come off of people when they crash into one another. And that'll let you go into the Skyway, which can help you get ahead while not losing any more health. The last person standing is literally the winner. And if you do well enough and get like goals set, you can get cool decals and trick out your car and blah 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 blah. Let's just skip to the bashing, okay? This is not what we asked for.
Nobody asked for this. Nobody. And whoever did actually ask for this, they didn't ask for this.
Yeah,
there was actually some comments on Twitter like, oh, why don't we just make, I don't know, a battle royale of F-Zero 99? Like, I was kidding! I was not being serious! Well, you did. Well, curse you then.
Nintendo took your tweet seriously. We have to blame you for it.
In the words of Joseph Stalin, I'll put your neck in a noose and a dress and shot. All your family, shot. All your wizard friends, shot. Anyone who sold you Perugi, shot. Epic Rath Battles of History. We're going to be freaked out in the comments, all right? But, like, that's how I'm feeling right now, because who the heck asked for this? All right, this is an insult to F-Zero fans, including our dear boss, Koopa Keith. I don't want to break kayfabe here, but I will. Keith has been going through a lot, ladies and gentlemen, all right? He does so much for us here at Adderhaven, trying to keep us going, get us the games we want to review and everything. He's going through a lot. Do you know how motivating and uplifting it would have been if he had gotten a true blue F-Zero, either remake or a new game? Do you know how much meaning that would have put into his life? And now he has this, which is like the most sidestep option ever. All right? Just say you're not making F-Zero anymore. Just put us out of our misery. At least we'll know. Okay? Like, look. Is this creative? Sure. To a certain extent. All right. And I'm not saying that the 99 series, as I'm going to call it, is not popular. All right. I loved Tetris 99.
Tetris 99 was my favorite.
It's the only thing that's running so far.
I loved it. I loved it. And you know what? If I was really bored, I know I could go back to it and play for days without issue. Not something I could say about Starfield. more on that later, maybe. But or Pac-Man 99. You know, okay, yeah, that seems interesting. You know, like that is definitely going to be a challenge. Absolutely. You know, but those are like super, super retro games. The most basic concepts put into 99 form. That makes sense. This does not make sense. This does not work in the grand scale because this is not what F-Zero really is about. F-Zero is absolutely about racing, not just racing to stay alive.
It is about the speed, and this is not about the speed.
No.
If you want to talk retro speed, fine, but it's not speed. Yeah.
No.
This is not what we want. And like, oh, but it's free for Nintendo Switch Online members, which makes it even worse in a certain way because you're not actually paying for the game, so we can't tell how successful this game is or not.
Nope.
Like, this is absolutely one of those, you know, two steps forward, three steps back kind of situations where Nintendo's like, hey, you know what? These people want F-Zero. Let's give it to them. Awesome! And then, hey, let's put it in 99 form and put it free online. Like, no!
That guy should have been the meme of the guy who gets thrown out the window. No.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there's no words. I mean, really. I mean, if you want to know how great this, how bad this was, when I posted about this online, guess who responded to my tweets about it? Our very own Tellius Tyler. He rarely responds to my tweets, but the moment I post about F-Zero, he goes, yeah, this feels like such a bad day for F-Zero fans. And when I wrote my Nintendo Direct recap, I put, what the heck did they do to F-Zero? And he goes, great title. And I'm like, yeah. Like, Nintendo, it's better. Please.
It's so sad because we know that one of the reasons they're doing this is going to be about how much interest they can gauge from people who actually want F-Zero. And I don't think this is going to be an accurate gauge.
It's not.
This isn't going to do what F-Zero fans want, so they're not going to play it. No, this absolutely. Is maybe the 99 fan series might like it, but I don't think it's going to hold their attention nearly as well as Tetris 99 will do.
Oh, I just remember. Wasn't there a Mario 99?
There was. Even that was Mario a better 35. Concept. Yeah, Mario 35, yeah.
Yeah, Mario 35. Like, yeah, sure. Seriously, F-Zero fans have been waiting for so long. Like, where's the Metroid Dread for them? You know, when they thought that the franchise was dead, and all of a sudden here comes Metroid Dread, and it's a Game of the Year material. Where's that for F-Zero? That's why I wasn't going to be mad if this was a remake of the original with the, you know, camera behind the car in that position. You know, it didn't have to be, you know, super beautiful, but, you know, enough to make it feel like a true remake of the original title. But no, we didn't get it. We got 99. And though I know that there is someone out there who likes this game for whatever stupid reason, again, put your neck in a noose and a dress and shot. Yeah, let's just move on. This is too painful. And sadly, the next one isn't even better because it's Bandle Tale, a League of Legends story. First of all, who still plays League of Legends? A lot of people, actually.
More people than they should, but a lot of the people who play League of Legends are not because they want to, it's because they have to, because they invested so much money and time into skins and characters and people they play with and teams they try with and trying to do that for every single day of their life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle, and the community itself is...
Yeah,
the same people who play WoW.
Yeah, you could say that those fans are a riot. Yeah. Also, that's not the only League of Legends story. There's also Song of Nunu.
Who asked for this?
You asked for this.
I don't even know.
Yeah. Next up, we have WarioWare Move It, which, for the record, once again, not voiced by Charles Martinet. You can tell. But yeah, this is a.
WarioWare, fine.
Yeah, it's WarioWare. I mean, you go to an island, you get to do a whole bunch of mini games, and they like really enjoy showing people doing weird stuff, like laying an egg, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not embarrass people like this? I mean, you have the option, so do so. Wait, was that a twerking mini game? Like, that's. Please tell me.
Yeah.
Oh. This is why I refuse. If any of you dare give me WarioWare Move It for my birthday, I will find you. Then you'll really see a riot. But yeah, if you like it, great. If you don't, fine. All right, next up, I know one that Scott was interested in.
Yes.
Ayudian Chronicle 100 Heroes.
Ayudian, yeah.
Sorry, Ayudian Chronicle 100 Heroes. And I am excited to see where this is going. It looks like they're adding a lot of characters into this game, which, I mean, makes sense with the 100 heroes.
And that's true. Like, I've had it right about this for another website. There is literally 100 plus heroes.
So it's exciting to see how they're going to do with this. And I know it's, for those of you who don't know, this is like a successor to the Suikoden series of just like trying to make and have a lot of characters that impact the story, but you also are basically not really forced, but you get only a specific amount to basically continue the story with, and it changes how things work. So that basically it has a lot of replayability of being able to select a lot of different parties, and that parties reflects and changes the stories that you go to. So it's one of those games that it's just like, it's an RPG that will eventually be like, you have like 80 different playthroughs that happen 80 different ways.
Yeah, and also this is a this was one of the most successful video game Kickstarters of
yes.
the year. Yeah. I mean, they took their dang time making it, but they wanted to make sure that they gave the game that they were, you know, funded to make, which I respect.
Yes.
So, but yeah, there was a whole heck of a lot of heroes, and it's going to be interesting when the game comes out. Next up, we have Eastward Octopia.
Yeah, it's a DLC.
Yeah. I was just wondering about what how to say Octopia. I wanted to say like Octocat or Octo Expansion. You know, I'm like, it's not Splatoon thing. But yeah, if you like Eastward, it's going to be a very special DLC. Go and check it out. Next up, Wargroove 2.
Okay.
Yeah, another for you Advanced Wars fans.
It's a game.
No. I'm going to give props to this one. Like, this one
yeah.
was very interesting and very successful. They got to make a sequel. So. You know, if you like the first one, you'll like the second one. Good for you. Next up, Dave the Diver. Don't care. His name's Dave. He dives for stuff. Deal with it. Next up. Oh, here we go. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. The final wave of the Booster Course Pass is coming. And they unveiled the last set of circuits, including Wii Daisy Circuit, Diddy Kong as a playable character.
Finally. No.
Funky Kong as a character.
Pauline.
Yeah, Pauline. I'm really waiting for the trailer to play. Pauline from Mario Kart Tour, which we can talk about now because it's gone. It's so done. Peachette.
Yep. Yep.
Well, you couldn't do Bowsette? Like, that was too much of an ask, I guess.
Remember, it's not canon, unfortunately, to them. It's not canon.
Well...
It's canon to the fans.
It's canon to online people, I guarantee you that. But yeah, and wait for it. It's coming out this holiday. Boo.
That could mean anything. No.
Exactly. All right, next up we have Among Us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a new special update called The Fungal.
Yep, welcome to The Fungal, a new map for the game. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, go and enjoy that. Then we had a sizzle reel highlighting the games that are coming out the rest of this year, like Super Mario Brothers Wonder, which, remember, was in a special direct on August 31st. That's right.
Just why it didn't have a special place here, because it didn't need it.
Yeah. And I'm actually, honestly, after what we had here, I'm kind of glad that they did, because they got to focus on that. Even though I will not lie, if they had taken out like a whole bunch of these games and put in Wonder and just focus on that for a long section, I would not have been as bad.
Might have been better.
Even though that would have been yet another Mario game. So we'll get to that. And then the ending game. Now let's pause right here before we talk about the game you all know we want to talk about. This is meant to be the capper. Okay?
Yeah.
This is supposed to be the thing that you are supposed to talk about forever. Okay, not forever. Maybe like a year or two, depending on the title. All right. Just being honest, you know, this thing, they're like, you know, you are happy that this is the last game. Like, this is the thing that you look forward to, because you know Nintendo has that one last ace up their sleeve. And for this Nintendo Direct, they decided they're doing Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door remaster for the Nintendo Switch. Now, I know what you're thinking. Todd, wait
it's
a minute.
About darn time is what you're thinking.
No. Well, no, actually, there's a lot of things you're thinking. You're like, well, Todd, you don't actually sound that excited, and I know this is one of your favorite RPGs ever. Why, yes, dear viewer, it is one of my favorite RPGs ever. But I don't think it actually deserves the final slot in a direct. And not the least of which is because even though it does look beautiful, and I've actually saw already some side-by-side graphics of the GameCube version versus the Switch version, it is absolutely upgraded. And I applaud them for doing so. And actually, I'm looking at the original, or the opening of the scene, and you actually see a picture of the original Paper Mario crew. I don't remember that being there before, but that's awesome. I'm supposed to focus on Luigi. He's talking. He's the one I'm supposed to be looking at. But yes, the whole game is back. It looks like a perfect remaster. They don't imply that there's any big changes, unlike what happened with Super Mario RPG. But yeah, everything is back. Everything looks beautiful, crisp. You know, you could, like, if you look at Hooktail, he looks amazing. Hooktail looks great. But yes, the Paper Mario, the Thousand Year Door, is coming out in 2024. But here's why I'm not as thrilled as I possibly should be. First of all, why did they show that Peach section at the end of the trailer? That really felt off.
I mean,
don't get me wrong, that whole storyline was weird, but I mean, I was glad Peach was doing something again, like they did in the original game. The original game was a little bit better, though, in terms of the Peach sections. But first of all, it's coming out in 2024.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But it's just that. They just say, like, just 2024. So that's yet another game that doesn't have a specific release date, and yet you're telling us this, even though it's possible it will not be coming out for another year. Possibly. Second of all, I honestly felt that this could have led the show. Like, this would have been an excellent way to lead the show. Like, hey, here's something you expect next year. It's going to be awesome, and we all know you want it. The problem is that, much like certain other franchises we've talked about, this feels like Nintendo saying, okay, fine, you want something from this franchise, here you go.
It's definitely because you've heard the talk, you've heard the clamor of all Mario RPG fans, like, we do not want Sticker Star, we do not want new Super Paper Mario, like, we want old school turn-based RPG, like with Thousand Year Door. Okay, fine. Here's Thousand Year Door remake. Happy now?
No, Nintendo, we are not. We're not happy. How dare you try and give us what you think we want? And again, for the record, I love this game. I am absolutely going to buy this game, mainly because
for sure.
I don't have my GameCube set up anymore, and I used to play that game about once a year.
Mm-mm.
Like, that is how that and Fire Emblem Path of Radiance. Like, that is how much I loved those games, and they were so compelling. And many agree that the Thousand Year Door is one of the best RPGs ever made, period. And the fact that Nintendo went away from it is a crime that we will never fully understand. Miyamoto, it was him. It was literally him that he's confessed. He has confessed. Repent. But this feels like another sidestep. Yes, I agree. This could absolutely be labeled as a game that should be ported to the Switch. But this is the last year of the Switch, and this is what you announce? Now you give us Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. You could have given us this instead of the Origami King and saved us a whole bunch of time, effort, and money. Especially the money. Plus, once we had proven again that this was the game we wanted again, you could already be at work at its sequel, which you could have put on your next console. Year two at max. But you didn't do that, now did you? No, you didn't do that, now did you? So this is one of those things where you get what you want in a way, but it's like, I'm glad, but that's not exactly what I was asking for.
Right. Like, ever since we heard, like, the articles from Miyamoto's confession to, like, oh, we don't know how to make interesting characters of other side characters of different, like, Koopas, Bombas, all that. Yes, you can! And Thousand Year Door was absolute proof of it. But no, you had to make Origami King of an unnamed Bob-omb. No, all that. It's just like all
that
these arguments you sway. We cannot make a traditional Mario RPG like with Thousand Year Door. Yes, you can. You just decide not to do it.
Yeah, that'd be like saying, like, hey, wait, we can't make a good Metroid 2D game anymore. Oh, wait.
You did!
You did. I'm sure you dread the idea, but yeah. And hey, if anything, this is and we talked about this in a previous podcast. This is when you say, okay, we, the old guard, can't think of anything. Let's give it to the kids. Let's give it to someone else who might be, because gosh dang it, I would love to make a Thousand Year Door sequel. I would love to be the head writer on that, Nintendo. I would do everything in my power to make it as wonderful, as whimsical, as fun, as varied, as stylish as Thousand Year Door was and more. I would try to make that game that I would make what Thousand Year Door was to Paper Mario 64. Original Paper Mario. Because the Paper Mario game was great, but Thousand Year Door was just better.
Yes.
Yep. And now you just change it up with the Wii and like, yeah, oh, side platformer. Yeah.
And I like the Wii game. It was fine. And it had a good story and whatever, but it was just...
It wasn't Thousand Year Door.
Yes.
And then they did Sticker Star, and I couldn't even finish that game. I think I played
We do not talk about it. The fact that Chuck Conroy, like, when he saw the trailer, like, I am literally burying my copy of this of Sticker Star just like, in celebration of this game's release.
Yeah. And who remembers Color Splash, the game that like literally sold like 200,000 copies at max?
I'm still surprised it sold that much.
Exactly. So, I don't know. Again, am I happy this game is coming to Switch? Sure, because to my surprise, I found out when I was doing some research for the writing I had to do about it, the game has not been released again since it came out on GameCube. It was never a virtual console title. Which is shocking. I know Paper Mario 64 was. Why do I keep saying 64? I know the 64 was added to a whole bunch of games.
Because everything had 64 afterwards.
Yeah. Quest 64, Super Mario 64, Mario Kart 64, Paper Mario 64. But I know the original Paper Mario was on Virtual Console. Isn't it on Switch Online?
Is it? I thought it was.
Maybe that's what.
Might be.
Yeah, either way. And that one I wouldn't mind a Switch remaster either, because that's a great game. It really is.
Yes.
But you know, it's one of those things where I'm happy and I'll play it and I'll enjoy it, but it doesn't mean anything unless you continue it and
right.
give us what we want.
And I've also checked out some other like people's responses as well, and like one response as such is like, yeah, like everyone, you must buy at least 1,000 copies of this game to actually send Nintendo a message that this is the kind of Mario RPG that we want and nothing like Sticker Star and the other games. Or like, yeah, like, but get this game, support this game, and like, yeah, this is what we want. I mean, sure, it took us many years afterwards, literally a console to actually get to this point, but is that, yeah, we finally got, well, a re-release of this old classic. And here's hoping, like, Nintendo maybe gets the message.
Yeah. Whether they will, who knows at this point. Like, let's just be blunt here, ladies and gentlemen. I did see that message, though, of, you know, buying a whole bunch of copies. I actually came across an article from a new site that I work for, where a guy bought like 40,000 worth of F-Zero stuff just to show Nintendo that he was interested and that fans were interested in a new F-Zero game. Clearly, it didn't work. So, but I will tell you,
they thought 99 was sufficient.
No, I got 99 problems, and that game is one.
The game is 98 of those.
Yeah, pretty much. No, let's just round it up to 99. Again, are we happy that the game is coming out? Of course we are. Trust me, I teased it before. When I was on Twitter after the Direct, there were so many comments about Thousand Year Door. Because everyone loved that game. Again, it's one of the best RPGs ever, period. End of story. Like, there is something about this game. There's a lot of things about this game. But as a whole, there's something about this game that everyone connects to and enjoys. And I marked out when I found out that my cousin was going to be named Vivian. Vivian was my favorite character. But I also like Cooper and Gabella and Flurry and Admiral Bobbery. You know, there were so many. And I love Glitzville. Glitzville is like one of my favorite.
Oh, that was the best mark.
I love that level. It was so much fun.
It gets the wrestling, of course.
Even though I'm an AEW fan, I appreciate this. Some people are asking if Rock Hawker is going to come out of retirement to face Roman Reigns for the title. And it's like, Rock the Hawk! Yeah, I love it. And then Bowser one-shots him. Like, you gotta go back to training, bro. It's like, Rock Hawk is nothing compared to the King of Koopas. So, yes, we're happy. This game is beautiful, and the internet is going to love it. But that's not, this can't be the end. All right. Also, once again, where the heck is our Xenoblade Chronicles X port?
Seriously.
We're never getting it. I don't know why, but we are never getting it.
I mean, if that if be the case, I don't know, send a letter to Model of Soft, like, say, can we get a Xenoblade Chronicles X, Xenoblade X port? Come on.
Just throw us a bone.
Throw me a three. Oh, no. Xenoblade Chronicles X 99.
No,
no,
is that throwing a bone or them throwing like a, I don't even know, a bomb?
They'll try and make it like their answer to Armored Core, where they get like a mech, and they're like, you can pick one of five models of mech, and then try and kill each other until there's only one mech.
Okay, that actually kind of sounds pretty cool.
Shut up, Will! Shut up, Will! Don't you give him my ideas.
You're the one coming up with the ideas, though.
I was making a joke.
I mean, if Armored Core was shown anything, it actually did dang pretty well. And just because of, again, it's mechs. You can make literally... I actually saw a Samus design mech in Armored Core. So, yeah. People still like mechs. So do not downgrade the appeal of mechs.
First of all, I would trust From Software with mechs, because that was their franchise before they did the Dark Souls tear, and then they did the Dark Souls tear and goes, hey, we should make the mech game again, and put everything they learned from the Dark Souls tear into the mech game. And shocker, it was good.
Still hard, but
yeah,
good.
I know. It's very hard, I was told. But like Keith loved it, and a lot of other people loved it. So, you know, it just goes to show, if you actually make consistently good games and you just take everything you learned, you make good games again. Nintendo, are you listening to me? Again, Paper Thousand Year Door 2, I will totally write it. You know what? And I know I shouldn't do this. This is like the number one rule of freelance. You never are supposed to do this, but I will do this, Nintendo, because I care that much. I will write the game for free. I know I shouldn't say that because I could easily make a lot of money off of that game, but I will take certain considerations, certain profit margins, whatever, but I will write the game for free because I am that dedicated to seeing this happen for the fans who will totally buy it day one. Period. Call me. Or DM me. My DMs are open. Yeah. hello, Nintendo ladies. No, please don't.
Oh no, don't get the bots involved.
Dude, I'm haunted by bots. It's terrible. And wasn't that Elon's whole thing? You know, like, oh,
he's going to try to remove them, and then he didn't.
They multiplied. Like,
they got worse, and now they're all verified bots.
Yeah.
Which makes it even worse.
Yeah, and I'm seriously, like, I'll post, like, just about anything. Like, hey, I'm writing this thing for my novel. Hey, you know, AEW was great last night. Hey, I'm excited for this. Like, oh, I'm doing a workout thing. And then it's like, you know, Samantha likes it. You're like, who's Samantha? Then I go over, and it's like, you know, XXX, and I'm like, oh, okay, so, yeah, thanks a lot, Elon. All right, and now it's time for our grades. Dun dun dun. I'm gonna give it a C. I'm just being honest. This thing was absolutely basic, mid. Okay, look. Here's what were the highlights. I can easily spell that out. Thousand Year Door. Yeah, that's totally a highlight. Side Order. I'm glad we got a better look at it. Cool. Mario vs. Donkey Kong. For those who haven't played it, absolutely. I think that will sell actually pretty well. Probably another million seller for Nintendo. Super Mario RPG, always happy to see that. Princess Peach Showtime, easily one of the best surprises of the... I mean, we knew it was coming, but...
Didn't know what it was.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
Like, no one expected this, you know? And like, and Faith was pumped for that, and that says something. That sounded so mean. I'm sorry. But no, she was rightfully pumped. There we go. I'm literally scrolling through just to find out. I mean, I know some, you guys are excited for Unicorn Overlord. Great for you. Luigi's Mansion 2, same as, you know, Mario vs. Donkey Kong. If you didn't play it before, you'll enjoy it now. Sora Amiibo, easily a highlight.
Yes.
F-Zero 99 can burn. And that was it. Like, and as Faith very accurately noted, much of what we saw today, we already knew about. We knew about the Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon remaster. They told us about that. They didn't show us much, but they told us about it. And then they even said, hey, there's a Princess Peach game coming too. We knew all of this 3 months ago. And now they're just saying, yes, with Peach, they actually gave like a full trailer, and I appreciate that. But they could have just saved it. like, hey, and hey, we got more titles featuring Mushroom Kingdom characters coming in the future. And like, oh, I wonder what that is. And then, hey, here's Princess Peach. Like, great. But it's not enough.
They could have honestly just had a whole, like, just Mario Direct to put all the Mario stuff
right.
Let's talk about that, actually. Because in this Direct, there was 7 Mario or Mario-related titles. Don't believe me? Super Mario Bros. Wonder, it was shown at the end. Luigi's Mansion 2 HD, Princess Peach Showtime, Mario vs. Donkey Kong, Super Mario RPG Remake, the Booster Pass courses for Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and Paper Mario 1000 Year Door.
Yep.
All coming out within the next year. Get more than likely.
Yep.
Yeah. And I was worried about this back in June. I was like, are we really just going to have like a full year of Mario? And yes, sure, they're going to sell. I would be shocked if any of these really didn't get a million, even Luigi's Mansion 2.
Yeah.
Or Mario versus Donkey Kong. You know, like I would be stunned if the Booster Course Pass doesn't count, obviously.
No.
But I know a lot of people already bought that because they really wanted the new courses in Mario Kart, which is awesome. But this is tailoring to one part of the fan base in your final year on Switch. With all these rumors going around about what's coming, you could end this year with a bang. You know, new Donkey Kong title. And for the record, I do not count Donkey Kong as part of the Mushroom Kingdom. Despite what the movie says. A Donkey Kong title. Fire Emblem. I wasn't expecting a Metroid game. There were some weird rumors about that. What was the other thing? Oh, F-Zero. You know, you had the opportunity to end this year with all these titles that you could have made. But instead you're like, no, let's just prank out Mario titles. And also, that of those 7 titles, 1, 2, 3, 4 of them are remakes or ports.
Yep.
Okay, I'll be generous. Let's call it remakes or remasters. Okay. 4 of them. That's a lot, and that doesn't even count all the other remasters and ports that we saw in the rest of the Direct, like Tomb Raider and what was the other? There were others, obviously. I just don't care about them. It's just the truth. I know those. Oh, yeah, Contra and all of them. You know, it doesn't really. They don't really mean anything, and a lot of these or another code. That was another one. Another code. And yes, there were some interesting surprises like Spy X Anya. Yes, I'm still using X. Deal with it. But, you know, that was like a very small, very niche surprise compared to what we could have had.
Plus, that trailer was only like 20, 30 seconds long compared to the rest.
Yeah. And again, you're only going to get that game if you like Spy X Family.
Yeah.
So, it's a C. There were highlights that lifted things like Paper Mario, like Peach, like Sora, but then like Faith said, we already knew about the rest. That's why they did the Mario Wonder Direct, so they could focus on that instead of just throwing it in the next Direct, which speaks volumes. And there wasn't enough. I don't know which of these games outside of Paper Mario I'm buying next year. Like seriously, I don't like. Faith was asking me, "Hey Todd, are you gonna get the Princess Peach game?" I'm like, I don't know. I really don't know. And so she wanted to review. I'm like, go ahead, take it. I don't mind. She goes, no, if you want to review. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to get it. So just go ahead and take it. I don't think I'll get Mario versus Donkey Kong. I'm definitely not going to get Luigi's Mansion 2.
Yeah.
And oh, that was the other thing. Outside of Mario versus Donkey Kong and Princess Peach, we got generic 2024 release dates for everything else.
Yep.
True.
Luigi's Mansion is not coming out for almost a year. They said summer 2024. Remember, they announced it in June.
Yeah, they could have literally saved that for like a February Direct.
Exactly.
Nobody would have cared.
And then Paper Mario 1000 Year Door coming out 2024. Splatoon 3 Side Order spring 2024. Like, why are you announcing these games so early into their release cycle? Oh, that's not the right word. Like, not even close to their release window. There we go.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that thing that Reggie said they were going to try and stop after what happened with Metroid Prime 4?
Yeah, I mean, they literally, like, usually when you see like a Nintendo Direct, it's supposed to be like a 4 to 5 month period But a lot of these are much more than 5-6 months out of the way.
Yeah. So actually, let's take a stab at that. Okay. So I said, well, Mario vs. Donkey Kong was February, what, the 18th or something like that. Yep. So
let's just, that let's one
say,
fits.
Yeah. So let's just say 15th. Okay. So February 15th. So September, October, November, December, January, January, February. It's 5 months.
Yep.
So everything else is 5 months. Or is over 5 months from now. So yep. Peach is 6. Splatoon, let's just say, is 7. Luigi's Mansion, probably 10. Who knows with Paper Mario? Like, there was literally a person telling me that there was a rumor going around that the game Paper Mario 1000 Year Door would actually be a Switch 2 launch title. Because they didn't actually specifically say it was for the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Except they did later on in a press release. So, sorry. I had to tell him that it hurt, but you know, I have to tell him the truth. So, but yeah, it was just, this was not the direct to get me excited for the last year of Nintendo. This is literally me saying, oh, Nintendo's just trying to make Super Mario Brothers movie money on all the Nintendo, all the Mario properties. I mean, that's their choice, but doesn't mean I have to be excited for it.
Yeah, it reminds me of one of my friends is saying that this direct just basically painted a picture that they're already focusing more on the Switch 2 than the Switch.
Okay.
Which in context is not bad.
No.
In theory, because if they try to replicate the first year with the next console like they did with this Switch's launch year, they're going to have a huge success. The difference is that we still don't know anything about that console, what those games are, and there's a lot of people still wanting to enjoy their Switch for as long as they can. And these titles only cater to the Mario fan base, and not everyone is a Super Mario diehard.
Yeah, odds are the earliest we'll hear anything of the Switch 2 from the Nintendo will be February, and that's the earliest.
Right. If anything else, we'll probably hear anything from the next Nintendo Summer Direct, or I don't know, from Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest.
Don't mention his name.
Okay, I should not mention Voldemort's name of the game industry. Fine.
Scott, so I know you technically said it before, but give us your breakdown. What is your grade for this Direct?
It's a C. I think it didn't help that I was kind of like excited to see what they had in store, because they're like, it's going to be a 47-minute Direct. I'm like, that's actually quite a bit of content. They could do a lot with it. And then you get to it, and it's just like, there actually wasn't that much in the Direct for the time period that it was spaced out for. And I mean, yes, I was happy for Sora. I was happy for having a Unicorn Overlord seeing Vanillaware still at it. I was happy that we got Ayudin Chronicle 100 Heroes more information on. And basically, I think my the thing I was most surprised of was just how involved we got with the Peach trailer. I wish we got a little bit more of the Spy X Anya game, because we got nothing out of it.
other than the fact that it's there.
I call it that too.
Thank you. I'm glad I'm not alone.
And yes, I still call Hunter X Hunter.
Oh, yeah, you're one of those people.
One of those people.
What do you mean, you people? Huh?
So it's absolutely a C for me. I originally was thinking maybe a B- because I was thinking more hopeful, but now as we're discussing, it's just a lot of these I'm just not really excited for. And even in some I'm just dreading. F-Zero 99 is gonna basically be the nail in the coffin for F-Zero at this point, because it's not going to attract the people they want it to attract. And they're just going to say, oh, well, F-Zero is apparently going to be a failure to make because nobody wants it. It's like, no, nobody wants that F-Zero.
Yeah, you're pretty much near my emotions right there. And I was gonna be generous, because again, it did provide some highlights, as you said, with the Amiibo, Sora, a Unicorn Overlord, and all that. You have another war game, but as you mentioned before, Todd, many of these games are very multi-platform, and you gotta get them on via on a PS4, PS5, or other consoles, and it's just only being advertised at first here on the Switch. So, and now just being with hearing everything, as I said, Mario more or less carried this Direct. And I know, because people don't read, and even says so on Nintendo's Twitter tweet, saying we'll be providing more information on the previously announced titles, I mean, yes. And yeah, Maximum Input kind of sets this. Like, I know people can't really have that basic reading comprehension of, like, yeah, what does this mean? And, like, what kind of information you can get out of it. But it's just really just kind of like, just really hard to really be excited as. Like, you want to be excited. And, of course, that natural internal hype of, like, yeah, here's hoping it's going to be a big one, mind-blowing direct. And once you see this, it's like, okay, Mario's fine, but it only does so much. And as you said, Todd, many of these things are in 2024. So, like, what can you get excited at the end of the year? Like, Mario RPG, that's it. And what else is... I can understand that point of view of, like, why people, like, why you guys aren't as excited, or like you don't feel that hype, because again, so much of things is just so far off. Yeah. And like, yeah, I'll give it to the point, like, at most it's gonna be a C+, like, generously. There are some, as you said, highlights, Meebos, the Rhythm Palace, and of course with us, Overlord Unicorn, but everything else, yeah. Even with Thousand Year Door remake, I can understand why you would feel so deflated.
Yeah, like, look, I'm gonna get Super Mario Bros. 1 and I'm gonna review it for the website. I'm gonna enjoy that. I'm gonna get the Pokemon DLC this weekend after I get back from my con. I'm absolutely gonna get Super Mario RPG when it comes out. I won't probably get Detective Pikachu Returns, nor will I get WarioWare Move It. So after Mario RPG, I don't know what my next Nintendo gaming experience is. In contrast, when 2021 ended, I knew I had to sneeze. When 2021 ended, I knew exactly what I was getting in 2023. I was going to get Fire Emblem. Sorry, 2022. I was going to get... No, yeah, sorry. 2022 to 2023. My bad. Time! Huh? Thanks for the tip. When 2022 ended, I knew exactly what I was getting in 2023. I was going to get Fire Emblem Engage in January. I was going to get Octopath Traveler 2 in February. I was going to get... what was in March? Oh, Bayonetta Origins in March, then Jedi Survivor, I know it's not a Switch, but still, in April, and then May was Tears of the Kingdom. I do not have a schedule for 2024 outside of whenever Paper Mario shows up. That's a pretty big gap. Don't get me wrong, my wallet is thrilled.
Time to work on the backlog.
Yeah, I might just have to. Or maybe I'll start Persona 5 again. But
get the platinum.
I got to date Makoto this time. I was hot for teacher. Now we got to go with class press. See, there's a system. There is a system. But there's just the hype's not there. And not just that, we didn't even really talk about it, but look at the third-party stuff we allegedly got in this direct. It doesn't even compare to what we've gotten this year before that, where there were exclusives like Bayonetta Origins or even multi-platform with Octopath Traveler 2. We all knew we were going to get it on Switch because that's where we got the original.
Yep.
Except unless you got, we're a PC heathen. I know who you are. Kidding. I love PC gaming. I mean, it's the only way I can play other games outside of Nintendo. But, gonna make a Final Fantasy joke here, but I won't. So, like, the hype's not there. And I know some people, like Faith, will be getting Princess Peach, and that's awesome. Or you might be excited for Luigi's Mansion 2 because you didn't get it on 3DS, and that's fine. But when you compare the beginning of 2023, 2024, it's just not the same. It's just not. So, this is why we said, that's why we had the title of this podcast being Nintendo, We Need to Talk. Because while we understand that you're prepping for your next system and we want that to be epic, we're still here right now wanting the best Switch games up until that next system, because not all of us are going to be able to get that system at launch.
Nope.
Remember, there was a serious drought of Switches for some time because we kept buying them all up.
Yeah, so let's not remember that Switch drought. Yep.
Yeah, we were lucky to have avoided that, me, Will, and Tyler, because we bought it the night of the presentation. We were very, very smart Nintendo fans. But not everyone will be that lucky. Not everyone will have that sense of timing and whatever. So we need to be fed leading up to that. We need to know that you're going to support us with all of our gaming desires up until the Switch 2 comes out, whenever and whatever that is. And right now, I'm not really feeling it.
Please, I'm so sad. I'm so feel sad he says that line.
Yeah. Also, I will say one thing. If we do have to resort to getting to the through the backlog, that means you two can finally finish Xenoblade Chronicles 3 so we can talk about the ending that I've been wanting to talk about for over a year. Over.
That is true. We probably might be able to.
I still need to finish up Tears of the Kingdom 2.
Finish it!
Finish him!
Alright. And with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. What did you think of the Nintendo Direct? Were you happy with it? Were you just okay with it? What were the highlights for you? What do you think you're going to get in 2024 based on what we know of right now? Let us know in the comments below. So, for Skulk and Scott and Warrior Will, I am Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag. No, not that. Why are there 99 flags? Gosh dang it, Nintendo!